Fraser Bullock joined the Salt Lake Organizing Committee in May of 1999. He acted as its chief operating officer until his appointment as president and CEO in April 2002. Mr. Bullock directed nearly 30 functions to develop games time operations plans. He played a key role in balancing the budget of $1.3 billion for staging the 2002 Olympic as well as the Paralympic Winter Games. In addition to his position with the Salt Lake Organizing Committee, Mr. Bullock is a managing director and founder of Alpine Consolidated, a company specializing in business consolidation transactions. He led the formations of Resort Quest International and Travel Services International. Mr. Bullock is a graduate of the MBA program at Brigham Young University. He has held various business leadership roles, including positions at Bain & Company, Bain Capital, World Airways, and Visa International. He resides in Alpine with his wife, Jennifer, and their five children. I met his parents before the devotional, and they said to be sure and mention that he was raised in Alberta, Canada, and they have a proud Canadian heritage. They also assured me that there would be Canadians in the audience. We are very grateful to have Brother Fraser Bullock with us this morning. And now we'll be pleased to hear from Brother Bullock.
What a delight to be here. I have a very fond place in my heart for this wonderful institution and all of the great work that is accomplished here. Thank you for joining me here this morning. I'd like to recognize my wife, Jennifer, with me here on the stand. She is my angel. I'm also delighted to have my parents here and my children. On February 17th of 2002, nervous anticipation filled the Salt Lake Ice Center for Apollo Ono's first Olympic short track speed skating final, the 1,000 meters. Apollo was heralded as an Olympian who had a chance to win 4 gold medals. He typically waits until late in the race to make his move, and this race was no different. With 2 laps remaining, he finally moved to the front of the pack of 5 skaters. On the very last corner, Apollo and Li Xiaojun from China bumped slightly. Then Li bumped An Hyun-soo from Korea, and in an instant, they found themselves spilled across the ice, sliding into the padded walls. Only the Australian, Stephen Bradbury, remained upright to cross the finish line, the first Australian ever to win a gold medal in the Winter Olympics. As he would later say, his strategy worked perfectly. He hoped the others would crash. As Stephen was crossing the finish line, the crowd breathed a collective groan, their hopes of an American gold medal fallen with Apollo, who was also injured in the crash with a gash that would require 6 stitches. Largely unnoticed in the instantaneous aftermath of the fallen skaters, Apollo scrambled quickly to his feet to get up and slide skate first across the finish line. He knew silver was still possible and that what determines his order of finish is when his skate crosses the line. He barely edged out the Canadian for silver. During the medal ceremony afterwards, Apollo exuded how thrilled he was. He didn't lose the gold. He won the silver. When Apollo fell, he not only got up, he got up quickly. I would like to touch on a few lessons we can learn for life from the Olympics, each illuminated from events in the Olympics. One of life's experiences is that we all get knocked down. As in Apollo's case, we're never sure what is around the next corner. In our case, we may not get knocked down on ice, but we can experience reversals in health, finances, with family, friends, or in other areas. Our challenge is what happens next. We need to get up, and we need to get up quickly. In our theme song for the games, Light the Fire Within, sung by Leon Rimes in our opening ceremonies, we find the following. We won't stay down. We will get back up and use the strength we've found. And we will rise like champions. Every obstacle we'll overcome. Once in every lifetime, there's a chance to stand apart. We can show the world our very best, reveal what's in our hearts. And so the story goes, and glory never will end. Inspiration lights the fire within. Everyone faces challenges we never thought would come our way. The key question we face as a result of these reversals or trials is whether or not it will bring us closer to God. I believe we face this basic choice every time we encounter these difficulties. Will it push us further away or bring us closer to God? We should see more clearly our complete dependency upon God and humble ourselves in relationship with Him. The people of Alma provide an inspiring example and enlightenment on the trying times we encounter. In Mosiah 24:15, we read, "The Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease, and they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord." I believe one of the great purposes of the burdens we face is to recognize our dependence upon the Lord and to submit our will to His. Indeed, the Savior is our schoolmaster in this principle. In 3 Nephi 27:13, the Savior says, "I came into the world to do the will of my Father." Is that not also true of us? Are we here to do the will of our Father? When we encounter such trials in our lives and at times feel helpless on our own to resolve them, we can turn to our Father for that divine source of assistance, and in turn more closely mesh our will with His. A second lesson was embodied in the experience of Jimmy Shea, Jr. Several years ago, we asked the International Olympic Committee, or IOC, to add skeleton back to the Winter Olympic program, particularly in light of the fact that at the time, Jimmy Shea was one of the best in the world. We wanted the U.S. to do well in these games. Skeleton is a sport in which competitors lie face down on a sled and fly down a bobsled track at 80 miles per hour, and their face is about 1.5 inches off of the ice. Jimmy dreamed to become part of the first three-generation Olympic family in history, with both his father and grandfather having competed in the Olympics, his grandfather winning 2 gold medals. We invited them to participate in the opening ceremonies, but then we were all struck by the tragic death of his 91-year-old grandfather last December, caused when his car was struck by a drunk driver. The day of the skeleton competition swept in with a light snow falling. Expectations were not high for Jimmy Shea, since for the past season his performance was not up to what it had been previously. He had also been recovering from an injury caused by invasive surgery to his leg. However, after the end of the first two runs, everyone was astonished to see him in first place. For the second run, they compete in reverse order of the standings, so Jimmy would be last. The snow continued to fall, potentially making the track slower, even though we briefly cleaned it between each competitor. He began his final run with a lead of 0.05 of a second, and as he moved through the turns, his lead became less and less. As he passed through the final time interval before the end, he was actually behind by 0.01 of a second. The experts in the sport would tell you that it's impossible to make up time at the very end of the track. But when Jimmy Shea finished the last three turns, he ended up winning the gold by 0.05 of a second. We had witnessed a very magical, emotional moment, especially when he took a picture of his recently deceased grandfather out of his helmet. When asked how many Shays were on the sled, Jimmy answered, 2. His father suggested that Grandfather Shea gave him a little extra push. It was like he had a divine hand pushing him down that last part of the track. During the games, I'm certain, absolutely certain, we had a divine hand with us. There were many instances where we received assistance beyond our capabilities. There was one area in particular that would dramatically affect the outcome of the games, the weather. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about the weather then. Wind and snow are problematic. You wouldn't think snow's a problem for winter games. But for example, we turned the downhill run into a sheet of ice. We used a water bar to inject water into the entire slope every 8 inches and then let it freeze. The competitors' skis bite more consistently and effectively into an icy surface. Imagine flying down a sheet of ice at 80 miles per hour. When it snows, it ruins the prepared surface, and we start over with 27 snowcats and 1,600 volunteers just to prepare the course for the downhill runs. We enjoyed miraculously superb weather during the games. Beginning with a storm the morning of opening ceremonies to blow out the inversion and put a blanket of white snow on the mountains. During the 17 days, we showcased majestic white mountains and the deep blue skies of Utah. We could not have scripted better weather. It made a fundamental difference to the outcome of our games. As closing ceremonies approached, I kept an eye on an approaching storm that was forecast to hit that evening of closing ceremonies. Late in that afternoon, I was in the stadium monitoring the load-in when the storm hit, and with large black clouds and then rain. But it cleared out before the start of the closing ceremonies. However, the forecast called for a major windstorm to come in between 7:30 and 9 p.m., right in the heart of our program. Winds are very problematic. They would hinder the dinosaurs. You know Donnie and Marie and the dinosaurs? Prevent the large balloons from being used. And worst of all, cancel the fireworks. We had over 36,000 shells of fireworks prepared for closing ceremonies. I stayed in touch by cell phone with our weather center, which was tied into ground monitoring stations for hundreds of miles. Each successive report updated the storm approaching Salt Lake from the west. Then at 7:30, I received a call that went something like this. The strangest thing has happened. A wind has come in from the east, which almost never happens. It has stalled the wind front over the Great Salt Lake, so you are good to go for the entire show. A feeling similar to electricity coursed through me. The closing ceremonies came off perfectly, and just 15 minutes after the stadium emptied, the windstorm hit with ferocity, tearing to shreds left behind ponchos and programs. Mitt Romney and I were standing there together watching this and commented that this was like a divine punctuation mark of who is really in charge. In our minds, the weather was absolutely divinely provided. We know we had a divine hand with us, but we all have a divine hand in our lives. Our Father in heaven and His Son care deeply for each of us. We need to recognize that they are ever present beside us to guide us along the way if we will but reach out to take that hand that is offered. It is real. It is a marvelous comfort. It is ever present as we are worthy. And it can keep us focused on the true mission in life as we take that divine hand and let it remind us and guide us in what we do. Remember that it is there. One of the Olympic firsts of our games was to choose a theme and amplify it through everything we did. Our theme was Light the Fire Within, suggesting to us all to strive harder, to reach higher, to accomplish things we never thought possible. It also tied to the idea of inspiring others with that light kindled within each of us. You probably recall seeing the children of light throughout our ceremonies and at the Medals Plaza. The athletes certainly exemplify the theme of Light the Fire Within and the inspiration of achievement. There are dozens of stories, but one in particular is very poignant. 18 months before the games, Chris Klug lay on an operating table wondering if he would live. In 1998, he competed in Nagano in the men's snowboard parallel giant slalom, finishing just out of the medals. His resolve was to compete in his home country, the United States. But in the summer of 2000, he was diagnosed with a life-threatening liver disease, the same that had taken the life of Walter Payton. Chris was wasting away, losing 30 pounds, awaiting a liver transplant, a highly risky procedure, but his only hope to live. After his successful operation, he went into a special but very difficult training regimen, hoping to once again compete. At the games, he unexpectedly made it into the final round, the only American to do so, and unbelievably won the bronze medal, the only organ transplant recipient ever to do so. And he won the medal on National Organ Transplant Awareness Day. Chris was another example of light the fire within. He had been knocked down, but got back up and reached heights as yet unconquered. Focus and determination resulted in what almost all thought impossible. Each of us can strive to reach heights that may not seem possible today. Life is full of many twists and turns, and it's so exciting to contemplate what lies ahead of you. As you reach to light the fire within, you also become an inspiration to those around you. What you may reach for may be in studies, career, or service to others, but it may also be to light the divine fire within you. Each of us has the seeds of divinity within us, lying dormant until we consciously plant them and nourish them to grow. Many times the goal may seem infinitely distant and the journey uncertain and challenging, but making that journey many times is what allows us to accomplish what we never thought possible, and it does impart some of life's great lessons. So let us each look inside of ourselves to see how we may light that fire within and achieve more than we may think possible. Certainly that was the case with the Salt Lake Organizing Committee. I recall looking from the outside before joining the committee at the organization as the bribery scandal unfolded, and I thought, what a tragedy for our community, especially since we try to be the most honest of people. Yet here were some of the headlines from around the world. Biggest scandal ever to hit the Olympics. Oli scandal leads to resignation. Olympic shame. When I traveled across the U.S. or abroad during those times, mentioning that I was from Utah was met with comments of bribery and dishonesty. The thought of great games seemed an impossible dream. Yet the people of Utah did have a dream to host the world. As the new management of SLOC, our objective was to host the games in such a way that the past would fade away and be replaced with memories of magical games. We had been knocked down, but it was time to get up and do what many thought impossible, to put on great games. And the games were indeed magical. The headlines from around the world read, "The little city that could did." 2002 Olympics lights the fire within. Basking in Olympic spirit. And finally, unbelievable games. Dick Ebersol, the chairman of NBC Sports, said, "The Salt Lake Games are far and away the most successful Olympics, summer or winter, in history." Jean-Claude Keeley, one of the most decorated Olympians ever, said, "Salt Lake, we will always remember you. These were perfect games." Our collective success had many sources. We had a great team, led by my partner, Mitt Romney. We had a superb organization. We had a divine hand of assistance. But one additional key factor noted throughout the world was the wonderful volunteers. President Jacques Rogge said to the world in the closing ceremonies, "Volunteers, you are with the athletes the champions of these games. Your generosity and profound kindness has won our hearts. You were marvelous. President Hinckley said in conference last April, I compliment and thank our people who participated in such numbers and so generously to make of this a wonderful and most significant event. So I'm here to thank the wonderful volunteers from the community and from BYU. And thank you, BYU, for lending us thousands of your superb students and for the wonderful job they did in hosting the world. I would like to tell you a key statistic regarding these volunteers. In every game previous to ours, the attrition rate of volunteers was 15 to 20%. In our games, we had an attrition of less than 1%. As a thank you to BYU for your partnership in hosting these games, allow me to present you with an Olympic torch. Brad, would you come on up, please? Here's an Olympic torch, and you'll note on the torch it reads, "Light the fire within," something exemplified by your fine students.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You know, it's interesting in these games, we touch the heart of the world, and that's because of the greatness of your hearts, and they could see that, and they felt it around the world. Last summer, in commemorating the pioneers, President Hinckley quoted Brigham Young, who said, "Kings and emperors and the noble and wise of the earth will visit us here." During the games, we had over 140 dignitaries from around the world, in addition to our own president, vice president, and almost all of his cabinet. After the conclusion of the games, President Hinckley said in April conference that we have witnessed the fulfillment of that prophecy in these recent days. He added, but out of this came something wonderful for the church. Representatives of the media, so often a tough and callous group, with very few exceptions, spoke and wrote in language both complimentary and accurately descriptive of a unique culture they found here, of the spirit of hospitality which they felt. In my opinion, a change has occurred around the world regarding the perception of the church, the reverberations from which we will not fully comprehend for years to come. Now, when I travel around the world and mention that I'm from Salt Lake, a smile comes to the eyes, followed by a warm handshake, thanking us for marvelous games. These games were important for our community and for the church. Many around the world did not even know of us, but now they do. And their reactions are almost universally positive and warm. Salt Lake is now an Olympic city and one with magical games. As we continue our journey in life, let us follow some of these simple lessons. We will get knocked down, and many times unexpectedly, but when we do, let's get up and get up quickly. Let's rely on the Lord and use the opportunity to draw closer to Him and align our will more with His. Let us take His divine hand throughout our lives, every step of the way, to navigate the many challenging turns that await us. And let's light that fire within to achieve more than we perhaps think possible, and at the same time, light the divine fire within each of us to realize the divine potential we each have. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.